This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast. Today, in season 4, episode 88, I invite back to the podcast Gold Coast runner Jordan McLennan. Jordan recently competed in the Gold Coast Marathon, and it kind of prompted me to get him back on here. 2 years ago, he debuted in the event, 2023. That was his first ever marathon, and what a race that was, 2:19 on home soil, so to speak. I actually grabbed him after that race on the podcast. It only would have been a week or so after the event, and we had such an amazing conversation about his experience out there. He's done for many years and is renowned for the shorter events, 1500, even 800 when he was younger, and stepped it up in 23 to the marathon. Years later, 2 years later now, we talk again, and he sort of went away from running there a bit again. He had an injury the year prior to Gold Coast 2, which put him out for about 6 months. And this event this year just sort of prompted me again to get him back on here to see what he's up to. And he's speaking about getting back into fitness. He's targeting the 10K pre down south in only a month or so away. And he's got ambitions now to continue to get back potentially to where he was. And this conversation took a few different avenues or turns. We spoke initially about the Sunny Coast Marathon event last weekend, Sydney Marathon coming up, and of course the World Champs, then got into his training week, which will lead into that 10K he's about to compete in, and his Journeyman podcast that he has now with a few Gold Coast guys down there, and he founded that back in July, so it's great to talk about his podcast and then future running and training. Get started. Welcome again, the second time, to the Local Legends in Running podcast, Jordan McLennan.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me back. It's cool to be here. I was just saying to you on it off air, I can't believe it's been 2 years now. That's kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, 2 years ago, 8th of July, I found that date scrolling through Spotify, listening to our episode from 2 years ago, in the last hour. And it's interesting to sort of see, even for me as a podcast host, how I've progressed in the way that I host and talk through these conversations. But that was just post that amazing Gold Coast debut you had, mate, back then, 2:19. And I just recall, like, it was just such an awesome conversation to sit there and hear the elation in your voice after that event.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't. I think I was extremely happy with it, obviously. And now looking back on it, I've got even more fond memories. I guess having a debut, you kind of always think, oh, if I do it again, I'll do better. And now I've tried a couple more times. It's been a bit of a reality check that you don't often get days like that. So that was definitely a very special day. And I'm even more aware of that now than I probably was back then.
Oh yeah, it's like a golden era there for the Gold Coast guys, like Louis McAfee was out there and Tim Vincent, Liam Burden, yourself, obviously Tim and Liam really pushing the envelope there now. But That's sort of why I've sort of got you back on here again, Jordo, because you're back there at Gold Coast this year in the marathon. And maybe, if we're being honest, a little bit different to that run on July 8th, 2023.
Very different, very, very different this time around. Very eye-opening, very humbling. Still a lot of fun, but nowhere near the same level of performance, that's for sure.
Yeah, so that sort of got me thinking about, well, firstly, why you were running a marathon again, where the fitness is at, and what you're targeting in the near future and beyond, because you must be around 30 years of age. Is that right, Jordan?
Yeah, I'm turning 30 this year. It's all going downhill for me, Ollie. I think I might have peaked, but the reason to get back out there again, I guess, was I think we kind of mentioned it briefly last time, but as I said, like that was my first one, and you sort of I had a really clear goal. I was like, I'm gonna break 220, and if I break 220, I'll be happy and I won't need to, worry about marathons ever again. So I kind of trained like I wouldn't ever run another one again, went really hard. And had a lot of other things that, were working in my favor then. And then I kind of just plugged away at it again. I trained for it again the next year. And I did this Red Bull Race the Sun, it's called. And which was really, really fun, but, pretty damaging on the body there. I think I ran like 70 something K in a day, which was like if you can get through it, the best training day of all time, but like 99% chance you're going to come out of that pretty wounded or something not going too well. And I busted up my knee pretty good, so I didn't make the start line last year. And I was like, oh, I still feel like I got something there, so I wanted to have another go this year. And then yeah, hindsight's unreal looking back on it. The training now, it was very much a like I got the work done, but just there's so many factors that go into training effectively and like absorbing all your training with your sleep and your food and your it's such a massive time commitment. And I think I was just kind of, just gritting my teeth and trying to push through and not really doing it in a very smart or effective way in some ways. But yeah, I like the idea of maybe I can run quicker, but as I've done it a couple more times, I've thought, well, I don't know. Maybe that was a bit of a special day, that one. But yeah.
No, no way. I completely disagree, and I want to see you keep going at the marathon. But mate, you were always a runner that fared pretty well in that 1500 meter event, 3K, 5K, some 10Ks, particularly there as well. So stepping up to the marathon in 23, wasn't it? And
Yep.
now again, second marathon, is that right? Second of all time.
Yeah, that was my second one I've made the start line for. Yeah. Oh, I made the finish line for as well. But yeah, as I said, I trained for one last year and got pretty much, I 2 weeks out from the race and then had to pull it, which was a bit disappointing. But yeah, that was the second one I've actually finished.
Yeah, well, listeners tuning in today can go back to that episode and hear a little bit more about Jordan. But after I sort of read out this agenda about what we'll run through here, Jordo, then I'd
Yeah.
love to sort of hear about all the listeners, probably more so about your upbringing running wise quickly. And then we'll get into some news. The Sunny Coast Marathon event happened last weekend. Sydney's coming up, the world champs, athletics champs, of course. And then your training week, which I guess will lead into some future events, and what's changed too. And I don't often speak to guests who have a microphone as well in an episode, but you've got one probably because you've got your own podcast now, the Journeyman podcast that was founded last year in July. So looking forward to hearing more about how that's all going. And then yes, the future running years beyond now, because you're 30 now, but I definitely see that progressing as you get older into your 30s. You certainly can in the marathon.
I love the optimism, mate. I hope so. I love it.
Let's get to you for the listeners, just a bit of a reminder, or if they've tuned in for the very first time to hear about Giotto, just give us a bit of an idea of where you're based, who you train with, but then also just quickly back to your school running and how you got into running itself.
Sure, yeah. So I'm on the Gold Coast. I've lived here since I was 7, growing up, done all my running here, mainly with Gold Coast. Well, yeah, with Gold Coast Run Co. So with Jackson Elliott, the coach, and then some unreal athletes that have gone on to do great things now. Timmy Vincent, great friend of mine, and getting ready for his first World Champs in only a few weeks now,
He
which is
is,
really
yeah.
exciting. Liam Bowden and then Louis McAfee and just oh man, there's too many names in that group that I've been really lucky to run with over the years. So that's been a really core part of my yeah, I guess running journey, but also just journey as a person. That's some of my closest mates. So yeah, really, really good group we got here. I started running when I was 7, and just all through primary school, got into triathlon, did that for a few years, and then went to college, did the college thing in the US, and then came back and yeah, got really stuck into things with Jacko and that group I just mentioned for quite a few years there. So I've had a good exposure to lots of different kinds of training and philosophies around running. Like the college system was incredibly different. The triathlon, way of running is also a different approach, which was yeah, really cool. And it allowed me to see a lot of different sort of training effects. What works for you, take some stuff on board, cut some stuff out, just figure out what works. And yeah, nowadays I'm kind of in a bit of a different scenario with running. I've got a business with two of my friends, which is I really love and want to push really hard. So that takes up more of my time and mental energy. So I run with a few of my good mates close to home. Kaz Omar is another, he's on the Journeyman podcast with me as well. So we meet pretty much every morning. My girlfriend Loretta, and we try and get down to Runco sessions occasionally, but yeah, the time constraints are a little bit different these days, but Jacko is definitely still my coach and the one I go to for advice. So yeah, just in a little bit of a different phase of things at the moment, I'd say.
Yeah, so just refresh us on the PBs, Jordo, and also what's the event you've done most of over the years too?
Oh man, well, I started track stuff for sure, so I did 1500s, 3Ks, 5Ks, like you mentioned, did heaps of those all through school and into my early 20s and at college and stuff. And then I did so many 10Ks on the road when I came back to Australia. That was kind of the thing I battled away at for a long time. Like, did the track season in the summer and then in the winter was just absolutely fighting to try and run a good 10K, which I always found really difficult. But yeah, so I guess it's kind of been probably that's been the thing I've definitely had the most persistent crack at, but the 1500 3K was probably my sweet spot when I was younger and on the track. That was definitely my favorite sort of event because it's like it's just the most fun, isn't it? Like you're actually racing, you're out there and
100%, yeah.
there's strategy involved, there's like moves to be made, there's a bit of psychology involved. Like in a 10K, it's just like who's the fittest, like ready, set, go, see you in half an hour kind of thing. So I really liked the track stuff. That was always like got me fired up. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so what were your times then? If you give us those from the 800 up.
God, 1500. I think I got under 350, so probably 349 something. The 3K I did, I was under 820. No, I'm under 815, 814 maybe, and then 5K was like low 14, and then 30 minutes for the 10K was always like my nemesis, and I never quite cracked it. I think I ran like 30 minutes and 12 seconds or something. So it's one of those things. It's like, oh, I gave it that much of a crack. I kind of just waved the white flag and was like, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to break 30, whatever. But it's also a part of me that's like, fuck, I was so close. I really want to get under that 30-minute barrier. So that's like the one of them that maybe not haunts me, but it's like if I had to go and really rewrite one, I would be looking at that 10K pretty quickly.
Oh, that'd be so good. So good, mate. Speaking of the 10K, that event featured last weekend at the Sunny Coast. I'm not sure if you guys have spoken on your podcast about the Sunny Coast event pre or after that event, but yeah, it was an amazing, I guess, one day event. And I spoke to Jason Krauser, the event director on this podcast, actually, of the Sunny
Nice.
Coast event beforehand. And it was such an eye opener as to how it all works. But he was speaking very excitingly about the marathon change, that course to a one lapper up to Majimba Way. I've got a unit up there I stay at that own between family. So it was awesome to see the marathon pass my unit on the Esplanade there at Majimba. And I was out on my bike chasing the marathoners, and I told you off air, Jordan,
Yeah.
that I kind of crashed trying to follow Andy Buchanan at about 25K an hour down at Murrayshaw, and I'm sitting here still a bit wounded, but at least I get to talk about running. I just can't actually run. But anyway, it was
Yeah.
great to see Grego course record, which it's obviously a change course and the first time that someone of his level has run across it, but I think that's the fastest marathon there overall. Is that your take? 2:14?
Yeah, 214 just I think 214 on the Sunshine Coast in general is pretty damn impressive. Like that's, the conditions are usually against you. You've running, he had Brett there, as you mentioned, which was great, but largely solo as well. Like that's a pretty impressive run, to be honest.
Yeah, I saw Jen Gregson out there too, his wife, and she was chasing him on the bike as well, a bit more safely than I was. But she was out there. Brett was there for 34K. We'll talk about him shortly because he's in Sydney. So a bit of a training run to about 3:10 pace for him, 34K. It's pretty handy, hey.
Oh
And
yeah, man, not
then
bad.
also Andy and Tara Palm in the half. Tara was on this podcast too a few weeks back before the event talking about her keenness for the event, and she won. I don't have the time here on the agenda for us, Jordan, but I think it was for her probably a little bit slower than she's run before, 73 or 4 from memory, and Andy 62, which, and he looked so comfortable, mate, when I saw him. He was solo for most of it. He dropped Liam Adams after a K. I'm not sure if you've seen the footage. The footage was pretty cool. It showed all the events.
Yeah, that run from Andy. I'm just trying to look up what Tara ran as well, but Andy's run in particular, 62 minutes. I remember he ran Gold Coast last year because we spoke to him not long ago as well, which was cool. But he ran 62 low to win Gold Coast last year, and that was really close. Like he was, pushed to the line and had a couple of guys like right up his ass the whole way. And then this one, he's kind of just gone out and soloed 62 on his own. And I would probably say that's a tougher course than the Gold Coast. It's like, it's just kind of natural. The standard of the sport keeps growing. But even watching in particular, like certain athletes, it's not like someone new comes in and raises the level. It's like all the guys at the top are improving at such a rapid rate. You're like, that's just kind of freakish to look at. Like when I saw his time and having a bit of context of running on that course before, you're like, that is just absolutely frightening. That is so damn fast.
Yeah, he was, as I rode past him, Jordo, he was talking to the crowd, like calling out. People
Yeah.
acknowledged him. He acknowledged them back. And this, we're talking about not 5K into a race. We're talking about the crux of the half marathon where it all comes to a point where it's so hard at like 16K. He's
Yeah,
just unstoppable at the moment.
I saw a funny video. He ran past there's like some LSKD influencer or something, and she was like doing the thing where they hold the camera up and video themselves running. And Andy ran past her, and this is like, pretty deep into the race. And Andy's like mid race, come over and goes, "Are you racing?" Like he's taking an interest in this other person's race while he's halfway through a 62-minute half marathon. And she's like, Yeah, I'm out here today. I missed the start or something," and joked about it. And then he just ran off. And you're like, that's pretty cool that he's even got the, normally when I'm running as hard as I can, there's nothing else in my head other than go, grit your teeth, go. And he's just calm as anything, just having a chat to people. It's bloody ridiculous.
Oh, and you're obviously so focused as a runner out there at that point. You're just blocking everything out. But for him to be so aware and so comfortable, and
Yeah.
it's, yeah, what's he capable of now, do you think? Do you think he, because it's only Brett Robbo who's gone sub an hour, isn't it, in Australia?
Yeah, I think Robbo's he did it in somewhere in Japan. I can't remember which
Yeah.
race, but yeah, Robbo's the only person to break an hour that I know of. But now we're getting quite a few people just sneaking into that 60, 61 area. So there's Isaac Hayne as well. He's running super quick.
Clifford.
Yeah, Clifford, Timmy's knocked on the door a couple times. Andy, yeah, even like Liam Boots has run like 62 low as well. So I don't know. I reckon it's if it keeps going the way it's going, I think sub hour for the half will be not just a sort of one-off thing by one Australian soon. I don't think. I hope anyway. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and Tara Palm was out there. I just checked her time, a high 73. So no wonder I had
Oh yeah.
74 also in my head. But
Yeah.
a clear win from her. And I think she turned 40 this year. And
Damn, that's so impressive.
there's a number of ladies too, hey, in that 40 or 50 bracket, just absolutely killing it. It's crazy. Like I keep saying this, but it really is on most episodes, how the state of running is going in this country.
Yeah, we say it all the time, and it's yeah, even for myself, like going to races that are like Gold Coast 10K is, a great example. I used to run that every single year, and I'd sort of finish around the, I don't know, 10th, 20th, somewhere around there. And then you look at the times that are coming in 10th and 20th now, and you're like, oh my God, it's not even the top guys. It's just like the entire baseline across the entire country is just lifting consistently. And it's just a whole different ball game these days. And it's, I think we spoke briefly off air too about it being so many different things contribute to that. Like there's shoes, obviously, but then there's training methods and exposure to like, social media, and everyone's kind of getting a bit of like dog in them, seeing what everyone else does on Strava. And yeah, there's just so many things that are pushing everyone up. It's very good, but it's also like, well, I've really got to lift my game here if I want to keep up.
If you certainly look at the last 50 years, like there's been a spike, hasn't there, in the last 5 years? And the shoes are a massive part of that. We've got to acknowledge that. There's so many factors. We could sit here for ages listing them off. But let's move along to, in line with that, actually, about people who are running ridiculous times. And Cooper Lutkenhouse, he's an American, under 18 world record. He's only 16 years of age, though. He ran a 142 high, I think. I didn't actually write his time down in the agenda in the end, but 142 something, wasn't it? And he's beaten Muhammad Arman from 2011, a 14-year-old record, which was a 143.37. So he's beaten that by over a second. Fourth fastest American all time, sixth fastest this year. And guys like Steve Magnus, if you follow him at all, if you don't know who Steve Magnus is as a runner, you're probably following the wrong people. But he said, literally, his words were the most impressive athletic feat in the history of athletics itself. So that's a pretty big statement. But other comparisons to Jimmy Ryan was out there years ago, I think in the 60s. He was the first high schooler to break 4 minutes in the
I remember
mile
that.
and eventually ran a 3:55, I think, by the time he finished. So crazy, crazy time for Cooper.
Oh yeah, well, 142, like I think that's the craziest thing about that is like you get these freaks sometimes that run these crazy times, but he's done that. He came second at the like outdoor American like national, like the qualifying meet for the world championship. So he's run this great time, but he's also just executed on a massive stage and come across second in a, really, really competitive race against, some guys that are well-established senior athletes, and you're like, holy shit. So it's not like this kid is just an absolute freak who had this crazy day set up to run a time trial freakish time. It's like he's out there in a super big stage just putting some absolute seniors in the bin. You're like, Jesus, this kid's going to be good, like properly good.
Yeah, we use this word prodigy, but he's good right now. And so is someone like Cam Myers. Like they're not going to be good. They're good amongst the greats right now, which is just ridiculous to think. Like when I was going through high school, mate, like to be a sub 2 minute 800 meter runner was like pretty
Yeah,
decent.
you're a big dog.
Sub 2 minutes. And we're talking about 18 seconds quicker than 2 minutes. And these guys were, that I'm thinking of anyway, we're like ahead of the bunch at local meets and stuff running sub twos, and this guy's at 142.
To
It
be
just
fair,
looked ridiculous compared to someone running 2 minutes.
he's not built like a 16-year-old, to be fair though. Like he is properly like he's strong as. Like he looks like a developed like mid-20s athlete, which is just kind of a genetic freak of nature, but he's got the head on his shoulders and he's a physical freak. So I'm quite excited to see what he can do.
He's got more of the almost 400, 200 meter build, I reckon. Like you certainly see 800 meter guys like that. But yeah, he looks strong and old for a 16 year old, like almost 20 or older. It's crazy. So that it's going to be exciting to track him, mate. Like obviously, when you're up so high as him, it's hard to get faster and faster, but he's already there.
Yeah, it'd be interesting too, because now you've gone and done that as a 16-year-old. The world's like pressure is just put on you. You kind of, need to respond to that. Even if he just keeps doing what he's doing, he'll be fine. But that's a lot of pressure to put on a young kid. So hopefully he handles it well.
Yeah, let's bring it back local though, eh? Like to Australia, we're talking about, and the Sydney Marathon's coming up in what, 3 weeks now, and that's Sunday, 31st of August. Brett Robinson will be there. He was outpacing Grego at the Sunny Coast, as we spoke about. Liam Adams backing up from that half marathon too. Tommy DeCanto, he's always there and thereabouts. He's a 2:11-ish guy, I think, from memory. But the most exciting thing for me, mate, is Sam Clifford debut. And he was on the Inside Running podcast recently, and he just is such an amazing talker at such a young age, talking about heads on shoulders. He's got a brain that can hold a conversation like a 35-year-old.
No, I caught up with him at the Gold Coast, and I'd never actually spoken to him before, but he was he is very well spoken. He's also just quite a genuine sort of guy. Like I ran into him, and I've probably only interacted with him maybe once or twice before, and we had a good 20-minute chat. He's a very personable sort of guy, and he told me, 'cause he raced the half obviously at Gold Coast, and then I saw him in the call room for the marathon, and I was just kind of not really sure what to make of it. I was like, is he going to race this as well? And turns out he paced the, I can't remember what group he did, but he paced someone to like 21 or 30K or something. So he's just done a big training weekend racing a half and then getting back out there in the marathon the next day. He's fit and he's working really hard. So I actually said to him, we're going to be at the Islander this tonight for beers after the race. You coming? He's like, no, I'm off the beers. I've got some training to do. It's like, all right, mate,
Oh,
respect to it. Go get it.
there you go. 10K Australian record holder Clifford over in that Tokyo 10K. So he, in terms of 10K fitness, he's killing it. Does that convert to a marathon? We'll find out. But he's very confident, like not as you sort of alluded to, not in this arrogant way, but in a confident way. Like the training and obviously the lead up races he's done. He's confident he can go sub 210. He's saying that's his goal. So he's not mucking around with that.
No, he's definitely done everything that suggests he's sub 210 before he's gone and done it, you know what I mean? He's doing all the work, all his time suggests he's capable of it. So I think it's cool when it's not it doesn't seem like a Hail Mary, you know, and someone kind of thinks says something and you're like, oh, that's a bit of a stretch. This is kind of like he believes it, he's working like he's gonna do that. And I'm yeah, as you say, I think it's very much a possibility. So I'm keen to see what he does as
Oh
well.
yeah, he's so fun to watch to run. A bit like Isaac Hayne too. They just seem to really enjoy it out there and just go from the gun. I saw Isaac Hayne actually before Gold Coast warming up in the elite area. I'm like what almost 15 minutes behind him in a half marathon, but I was there next to him and he said, "Ollie, how you going?" I said, "I'm good, mate. Are you looking forward to your race? You're gonna have some fun out there, mate." And he goes, "Oh, for the first 10K to be fun, and then I'll just grind it to the end." He always seems to be smiling, and him and Clifford are killing it out there. But for the ladies too at Sydney, we're going to have some of those stalwarts, Stenson and Waitman out there. But Pompeani is the one who's really showing us from a, like, she's younger than you, Jordo, in the marathon now and
Jeez,
cementing herself as one of the elite Australian female runners too, hey?
she's done some crazy stuff the last few years. I remember one of the ones I remember was Noosa Bolt. She ran so good at Noosa Bolt last year because that was like, oh God, who was she right? Georgia Griffith, maybe, who would, you know, be more of a specialist over that quicker sort of stuff. And then, yeah, Leanne just absolutely like pumped it. She smoked everyone. So she's got some good range on her, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think she was 69 low there in the half at Gold Coast. So leading into the Sydney Marathon, it's going to be exciting. And there's money thrown around. I was talking to Liam Bullitt on the podcast too for the first time the other week, and we're talking about the money for the Australians, and that's an incentive there. And obviously just to see where you're at as well against the internationals and being a major now, we're going to get a few more international runners, I hope, there at the event.
Oh yeah, it's going to be such a good weekend. I want to go down just to go and be there on the weekend and just see, you know, how the event sort of goes and Kipchoge and Stefano Sain in Australia. It's going to be a pretty major sort of like milestone for Australian athletics.
Yeah, mate, time and money. If I had that, I'd be there very quickly. But I
yeah,
don't
you and
have
me
either.
both. You and me both.
Okay, World Athletics Champs, they're happening too. And that's obviously like going forward, that's gonna be a little bit of a weird one for runners trying to choose what they do there. Obviously, the World Athletics Champs isn't every year, but they're only within a month of each other, just over 5 weeks or so. And we're gonna have Andy there, your mate Tim Vinson, and also your mate Liam Burden on that list. Did he have an asterisk against his name though, Liam, in the like, is he guaranteed to run, or is it something subjective to others pulling out?
No, he's running. I was a bit confused by how all that worked too. Tim tried to explain it to me, but I didn't fully understand it. So I think because they now do it off where you rank, you know, in your world rankings or whatever, and they take you if you're in the top 100. And there was something weird, like Liam was 104th, but by the time they kind of, you know, they can only take three people from each country. So by the time they do like a roll down and like you know, exclude fourth and below of each country, if that makes sense, Liam gets bumped up as many spots as they take out, and he ended up falling in pretty comfortably. But I think there was just an asterisk because it wasn't like automatic in the top 100. They had to do a roll down first. I think that's how it worked, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, the no Robinson there post Sydney as well, and the same with Liam Adams, which goes in line with what I said about trying to pick an event here potentially. Pat Tiernan's been a little bit quiet, like he sort of had a crack at the marathon there and still is probably moving forward. But for a few years now, Pat, Bat Doyle, Wilson, and Klein as well on the female marathon. So yeah, should be exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a very very hot race from all reports. Like Timmy and Andy have been up in Cairns doing a heat camp, and I think they're going back there again in a couple of weeks too. So it's a very what do they say, like a very specific marathon you have to be prepared for. So it'll be a good watch. I don't know if you remember I remember watching the Tokyo Olympic marathon in like 2020, must 2021 it must have been. And there was just absolute fireworks, eh? Like people popping 15K into a marathon,
Yeah, I
and
forgot
now
about that.
I know what that feels like now too. It's not a nice feeling, so it could be an opportunity if you get it really right. If you just execute on a really difficult day, I think there'll be a lot of surprising results in that World Champs marathon, I think.
Yes, we're talking about a release now that was back in April, though. So they come out in waves, and I'm looking at the very first wave, and I can't find any others. There may be some more releases, maybe not, but. On the 800 meter list, Peter Boll and Peyton Craig, Boll running that recent 142 as well, which was awesome to see.
So
And
good.
Caldwell, Hollingsworth, both sub 2 minute female runners. Claudia being the younger one and maybe upcoming a bit more than Abby, but she's definitely cemented herself, Abby, for the last handful of years. And the one and only Cam Myers, he ran that recent 329 as well. In the
Yeah,
1500 and
that
billing
is
to a
rapid,
sub
eh?
4 minute runner. Surely Jess Hull's added to that list eventually for the women's as well.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no, you'd expect her to be there. Yeah, I don't really know why the how the release dates work for all these like world champs and big events, but I think we've got a pretty strong team there already in the distance races, so we'll have to wait and see what they do with the rest of them, but it's going to be a good world champs for sure. I think actually on the marathon, as you mentioned, Tim or Andy mentioned that it might be the last time the marathon is at the world championships, so kind of a historical like event this one coming up.
Definitely. And I was just thinking too, as you were talking, like we're actually rivaling internationally now as well. Like there used to be one or two sort of athletes, even in the other events in athletics. I'm talking about like jumping and throwing events and stuff like that, who'd be that one and only athlete. But now there's so many. And I'm sort of thinking it's really just the marathon, which we're so strong at now, but we're still minutes away from the big dogs, aren't we, in the marathon?
We're getting pretty close, to be fair.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
Andy, 206 is like, we were talking about that. If you went and ran a 206 like 10 years ago, you are like winning major marathons
100%.
by a mile. So, yeah, I think as the sport's getting quicker, I think Australia is getting quicker. At a more rapid rate, like we're catching the top of the sport for sure. So, if you give it another 10 years, I think we're already like a bit of a powerhouse, which is a pretty crazy thing to say in athletics. But if it keeps going the way it's going, we're going to be like a world dominating like nation, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Especially looking at guys like Cam Myers, that's we're getting a few of these talents pop up too. So you're like, well, if things keep going the way they are, we're going to be a pretty major sort of contender at these big events.
Yeah, and Andy's been talking about like he just knows inside of him that he can run faster. That
Oh,
206 he ran, like
100%.
he literally he was on the podcast after that as well. He's talking about not that he was comfortable in it, but he finished knowing there's more in the tank here, and he's looking forward to getting into that 205 range, which yeah, as you alluded to, is definitely getting closer. It's got a few minutes there, and will be really up amongst the best of the world. Let's get
Yeah.
to you, Jordo. Let's hear about your training though, because I guess it's kind of ebbed and flowed for a number of years now, and it sort of came to a peak there at Gold Coast in 23. But yeah, what's the training week look like now, and what sort of attention are you going to pay to certain events moving forward for this year and for years to come, do you think?
Yeah, as you say, it's definitely ebbed and flowed, that's for sure. I have like I mentioned, like a business with two of my friends now, and that is something that I've found is it's almost similar to running in that you can get quite like invested in it and very like competitive, and in a lot of ways that's kind of like my outlet now, which I really, really enjoy. And so that's like taking up a lot more of my energy and time. But at the same time, like I love running, and I've put so many years into it that I want to just keep doing it as long as I can. So I kind of go through these phases where I'll train really, really hard for maybe like 3 or 4 months for like a marathon, and then after that, I'm kind of like, oh, I need to put a bit more time back into the work or whatever for a while. So I jump in and out for a bit, but when I'm training hard, it's kind of it's pretty stock standard to what everyone else does. I just like double as much as I can, like pretty much every day. And then I'll do a speedier sort of VO2 session on a Tuesday, a marathon specific thing on a Friday, and then a big long run on a Sunday. And it doesn't really, deviate too far from that. Even when I'm at the moment, when things aren't as intense, I'll still do my two sessions and a long run. And then just like kind of fit in as much jogging as I can. But yeah, that's where things get hard. It's like you can get out the door a few times a week to do your important stuff, and that's always motivating and good. But trying to find the 140K a week of jogging in there, that's the one that I sort of struggle to really get motivated for year round. So yeah, it's kind of just an ebb and flow thing, as you say. And in terms of what I'm going to do now, like I think having some like little goals is really good. Like keeps you going. So I think Kaz and I and a few of our other mates, Chris O'Littlejohn and a few others, are pretty keen to go down to Melbourne for the Run Prix, I think it's called, on the Formula One track. So pretty keen to do that. That's just like another thing that you to kind of keep yourself, your mind busy and keen to work towards. And then a bunch of little 5Ks have popped up just in the next few weeks up here. There's like an LSKD 5K, I think it's
Oh
called,
yeah,
and they
at
do.
UQ, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I literally saw it like 2 days ago. So we would just chuck that in the group chat, and maybe we'll go down and have a run there. And also the Bay of Fives, which Gold Coast Run Co. put on every year. Well, actually, no. Yeah, last year was the first year, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I got a message about that a couple of weeks ago, and looks like that'll be happening again, which is exciting. So yeah, just like little things like this here and there that I really want to be a part of and stay involved with. But in terms of like training my ass off and trying to be as fit as possible for them, I'll have to just squeeze in as much as I can, I think, but we'll see how we go.
Yeah, did you say what that actual work was that you do at the moment? What is it?
It's a well, it started as an e-commerce business, and then now we're in a bunch of retailers around Australia, like Woolies and Coles and things like that. But we just sell like sustainable cleaning products. It's called Lucent Globe, bit of a shameless plug if anyone's seen the ads
There we go.
on Facebook. But yeah, it's like we sell like these cleaning products, detergent sheets, and it's just like a, I guess, a perfect storm. One of my mates used to be a chemistry teacher, and one of our other mates was like a PhD candidate at Griffith Uni. So they just kind of started tinkering with all these cleaning formulas, which is kind of a weird market. Like they kind of came to me after it was a year old and asked me to be a part of it. And I was like, that's a very interesting idea. I'm not really sure how you came up with that, but looking into it a bit more, like it's a category that needs a lot of disruption, and kind of was waiting for someone to come and do something a bit different. So we're just going hard as with it, like trying to throw the kitchen sink at it with ideas and come up with new ways to make that less toxic, cheaper. It's like, oh, I could go on for hours. I literally spend all day talking about shit, but it's just kind of turned into something that I'm incredibly passionate about. Being in business with your mates is like a hell of a lot of fun. It's very has its challenges, as all things do, but overall it's a really cool thing to spend your time doing, so I'm absolutely loving it.
That's awesome, mate. And I guess like you being at a level you are and were, is that harder trying to come back to such a high mileage week? Like someone like me who sort of banged out 70, 80, 90K for years and has just sat there for years and year after year, but you have gone so high and come back. Is that where, like, what sort of mileage are you not content with that you run a 70K week, for example, and you think, oh, that's pretty average, not high enough. Like, where's the line drawn for you?
Oh, that's the problem, is it just keeps getting higher. Because I look at Timmy, like Timmy and I are obviously great mates, and he's, a world above where I am. But he's kind of like, when we started training, him and I were a little bit similar in the amount of training we used to do, and then obviously he stuck with it and made a lot of sacrifices and worked really hard. But he's now running like, he gets, oh man, I don't know exact numbers, but he gets up to 200K a week at least sometimes. And so when I'm in like big training, I'm like doing 150, 160, and then I've got not Timmy not like directly in my ear, but I'm like, shit, I probably could be doing more than that, or should be doing more than that. And I'll tell you what, the toughest thing is when you go from like a 70K a week and then try and get it back up to like 160. That's an incredibly rude shock to the system that I've struggled with a little bit each time I've done it. It's kind of like you go from 0 to 100, And yeah, there's definitely a bit of a calibration period there where you feel like you're just grumpy as all the time, and you're like, and you're, because you're running bad, but you're working hard and you're not fit yet. It's a weird period there. But anyway, it's kind of a, it's definitely not consistent, that's for sure. Consistency is my biggest battle these days, and obviously consistency is king with running. So I try to keep myself going as much as I can, but then when it's time to really get going, it's always a bit of a nasty shock to the system.
Yeah, so why don't you sort of just pick that 10K as an event moving forward and just run a consistent number? Like, or is the marathon still drawing you back? Do you think like
No, I think
100K a week or something is enough and just do 10K events in the
yeah.
near future? What's
You've
the
hit
plan?
the nail on the head there. Yeah, that was exactly the thinking after the marathon this year, 'cause as much as I was like getting the training done, there's, I think I mentioned before, there's so much that goes into actually absorbing training and getting the best training effect, you know, into your legs and actually getting fitter. So there were so many times where it's like, okay, I got to run 160K this week, and I'd get out and do this massive marathon session, and you're like, you're running in the dark, you haven't eaten properly, you rush off to work afterwards and don't recover properly, and you know, I might have run 30K that morning, but the training effect might only be that I've, you know, absorbed, or, you know, 20, 30, 40% of it, because you haven't recovered, you haven't slept properly, you haven't eaten properly, all this stuff. So in terms of like bang for buck training, I think, yeah, as exactly what you said, maybe trying to hit 80 to 100K a week going forward, and maybe a bit more quality stuff, a bit of faster stuff, which I do miss doing. It's a lot of fun. Definitely gets harder as you get older, but yeah, it's important, and I want to keep doing more of that. So that's probably going to be the focus, definitely for the next 6 months or so. And if his, not history, but if I keep doing what I have been doing, I'll get to February and then start kicking myself and make myself train for a marathon again. But I don't know if I'll do that again next time around. It's become pretty clear, if you want to run at the level that I want to in the marathon, it takes more than just forcing yourself out the door and getting the calories done. You got to really prioritize a lot of different things, and that's like a big time commitment that I'm not sure I have at the moment. So a 10K does sound a lot more appealing these days.
Yeah, it must be hard though when you've been at that elite end and you know there's some point where it becomes hard or you stop for a while and try and come back to it, like, and you know a number of like sort of ex-runners now who have given it up entirely. I just find it, as someone who's not elite like yourself, Jordan, hard to comprehend how you can be running at a high level and it just disappears entirely. And on the other end, there's runners like me or even slower who are just that, it's a lifestyle habitual thing that they'll do forever. They'll just be running and running and running. What's the hardest thing returning to that level of someone who's so elite?
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, I think there's people, it's like a different attitude, I guess. Like, there's people that they run to win. And, you know, once they realize that, oh, okay, I don't have the time to put into this to win anymore, I'm not really too bothered about doing it. And that's great. Like, that's how a lot of really successful people are motivated and driven. It's like, they just want to win. And then there's other people that, you know, really, really love the lifestyle and love the getting up every morning and just being part of it. And I think I've kind of fallen in the middle of the two somewhere. Like, I want to do really well, but you know, I also just love being outside, and I don't really care. I'm not like, I can turn the competitive switch off sometimes, which is a nice thing to be able to do and just enjoy running. So it is like, it's just a change in mindset. And I know for me, it would be a lot easier if I was one or the other, because then I wouldn't have to jump between the two. But I think I'm lucky in that way that I can, you know, I think there's lots of people that are similar too. You can just kind of take a step back from the really competitive side of it, and then just enjoy your running. And I think the people that you mentioned who were super competitive and then they kind of drop off completely, it's not really like they often find their way back to it with that same attitude of, I just want to run and be fit and healthy and enjoy it and kind of take the competitive side out of it. But at the same time, it's pretty hard to kill that kill that dog in you. Like, there's always a little bit of something barking at you that's like, just, I don't even know what you'd describe it as, but you just want to do better or be better, and just whatever that competitive spirit is, it doesn't really die. You've just got to learn to quiet it down and you know, point it in the right direction, probably.
Yeah, well, speaking of putting energy in other ways, let's get to the podcast, Journeyman Podcast. That came out mid last year, and Yeah, it's awesome to see a number of podcasts out there running wise, particularly in Queensland. Probably about 3 years ago when I founded mine, there weren't many. You might have heard of the Eat, Sleep, Run, Repeat podcast. A bunch of older
I have,
guys. I
yeah.
know one of them very well, Steve Woolley. You know, it seemed to be just those guys and me back then. And now, like, it's endless. But the main challenge is staying in the game. So you can put a podcast out there. That's a good thought. It's good fun. But to stick around, you guys are 53 episodes in now, is showing that you're in for the long haul, at least aiming for it. And you've got someone like Tim who also travels away a lot for running and that kind of thing. And different levels of running too between the three of you, which sort of lends itself well to the podcast and how you sort of, I guess, sell it, so to speak.
Yeah, no, you've absolutely nailed it there. It was exactly what you said. Like, we were looking around and just thought, like, we wanted to do something. And I always thought that this is just me speaking on behalf of Timmy, but for Timmy in particular, like, he is just so obviously good at his running and he's so, like, talented and works so hard. But one of the things that isn't, like, associated with that, I guess, is, like, marketing or putting yourself out there too much. So this was kind of just an idea that I floated, like, to the boys. You know, let's try, and I think this will work well on a lot of levels. Like, Kaz is pretty new. He can kind of, relate to the everyday runner and someone that's just getting started. And Timmy's, like, at the absolute top of the sport, like, absolutely killing it. Like, I think people will find that interesting. And then it's an opportunity for Tim to, I guess, put himself out there a little bit, which in a way that's not so, he can be himself and doesn't have to kind of put on a facade or anything like that. And then I was just keen to try and, I don't know, just start something. And since we've got it going, it's been so much fun. Like, we haven't really done a hell of a lot in terms of trying to, like, grow it outside of just putting audio out each week. And yeah, I'm sure you'd relate to it, but it's a hell of a lot of fun when you just kind of chuck it out there and then you just go to a race or you catch up with your mates and they'll bring it up and mention it and you think, oh, it's really cool to think that people actually listen to this and they get some kind of value or enjoyment out of it, even if it's just like an hour in their ears while they run each week or they drive to work or something. So we definitely wrestled with the, oh God, do we even bother with this? Like, or is anyone going to listen? And even if they do listen, are they going to like it? But yeah, it's been a really fun little journey we've gone on, and I think it's cool that we definitely don't take it too seriously. Like, it's called the Journeyman for a reason. It's pretty scrappy, and quite often, one of us is away or we've just got to slap it together last minute and the audio breaks out, and there's a lot of things about it that are pretty startup vibes. But yeah, we love it. It's just a fun little thing we do and we want to keep going for sure.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I resonate obviously having a podcast. What's different for me is mainly these are one-on-one conversations, and it relies entirely on someone saying, yes, Ollie, I'll come on for a chat. I've had a few row two series. I've had three of them now, I think, from memory, where I've been on the show with a couple other guests or co-hosts. So I feel that. What's the challenges for you though? For me, it's getting the guests on the show, but as a three, like, is it just getting together whenever you're doing a weekly, fortnightly, and that kind of thing?
And I actually considered that on your end before. Like, being solo would be really hard because you are relying so much on. You got no one to rely on. What if they don't show up? Or
So plenty of times where I've had no guests coming up on the show, but I always find someone. The running world's amazing, isn't it? You've had a few guests on there too, but as a threer though, what's the easy parts? What are the harder parts?
For us, it's pretty, I guess, the timing of things. Like, we try and do it at a similar time each week, but it does change a little bit depending on what's happening in everyone's little world or whatever. But I think we really enjoy it. And I mean, this is just for us. I don't know if listeners would even know or notice this, but when we do it together in person, it's always way better, we find. Like, excuse me, you can bounce off each other. You've got the social cues of being in the same room, and it just works a little bit easier. And then Zoom, like, you and I are speaking over Zoom right now, which is great, but sometimes it bloody cuts out, or, like, if we both talk at the same time, one will come through and the other won't. So it just doesn't quite flow as nicely. And as I say, probably listeners might not even notice it, but we are, when you try and do it, make it and make it as good as you can, you do notice these little things. So getting us all in the same room, that's always a battle. Probably has only happened maybe 5 or 6 times out of 53, to be fair. So, we do settle on Zoom most of the time. And then I definitely think that the biggest challenge we have is just doing anything to grow it. Like we don't, I think everyone knows that social media is like how you grow things now, like just chucking content out there. And we've tried to do the thing where I don't know, you do it a lot and do a good job of it. And most other podcasts do where you just like screen record the Zoom chat and then, put captions on it and chuck it out there on Instagram. But we've just, I don't know, we never seem to be able to do it. We just don't get around to it, basically. We're all pretty like busy and can't be bothered. And me and Kaz have done these fun little challenges a couple of times. We'll film those and that's always like fun. But to get like a really consistent stream of content that's actually going to grow it, that's probably our biggest challenge. And if we're going to do anything to, like, we're in significant, well, not significant, but we are in debt since starting the podcast, that's for sure. So
I was
if
going
we
to
wanted
say, if
to,
you're not making money, the motivation's a little bit harder to really
yeah.
grow it. And well, I found personally that regardless of how many listen, at least I enjoy the conversation. I know that for a fact, but
Yeah,
at least there's
exactly.
always the loyal listeners coming back. It doesn't really matter how many are listening. And it's
Yeah.
always humbling too when you hear of like Brady Trelfort from Inside Running Podcast talks about how many listeners he gets on their show. And it's up to 20,000,
Yeah, it's crazy.
that's a huge number for a running podcast.
Oh, they've done so well. Yeah, Brady came on ours one time and he's a bloody legend, such a good guy. And he was even saying he said, I think he said like there was 80 something episodes before they got any sort of sponsorship or help or whatever. And the first thing they got was like a pair of socks. And apparently they spent like, hours like researching these socks and trying to do the best job they could with them. So I think it's even just enjoying the, I kind of take that mindset I had in, well, we all have in the business with my mates. And it's like, you just enjoy the grind and enjoy the grunt period where there's nothing coming back. It's like, it's just fun. And like, it's like the humble, like just nothing flash. You just go and do it because you want to do it. And if something good comes out of it, that'd be great. But you, as you say, you enjoy the conversation. And if you do something consistently enough and with enough passion and excitement, I think eventually it'll turn into be so.
Mate, let's get to this 10K very quickly to wrap things up. What's your goal there at the Run Prix down at Melbourne?
Oh yeah, well, I was optimistic. I said I'd do it when I was in the middle of marathon training. I was like, oh, I'm gonna have such a big base. I'll do a few weeks to spare. I'll be able to run really well. I think if I break, I'd like to go somewhere in the reasonable sort of goal to do, but the work to do that has not been done. So I'm just being realistic. But yeah, I think mid to low 31 would be a pretty good day.
Awesome, mate. Awesome. The internet's still playing up a little bit here. I think I've got you though, but
Ah. Oh.
yeah, thanks for jumping
Sorry.
back on. It's always good to have guests back on for a second time. And you're saying off air, I've had the Gold Coast guys on, I think all of them pretty much two or three times, and you joined that club today. And we'll continue to think of having you back on here, particularly by the fact you got a microphone and like to podcast yourself anyway. And of course, like to talk about running, but thanks for your time again, Jordo, and I'll put this up the Sabo for listeners to tune into.
Awesome. Thanks, Ollie. Sorry for the dodgy internet, mate, but cheers for having me back on and we'll speak again soon, eh?
Yeah, cheers. Thanks, mate. Did you know the local legends in running do online coaching? If you're interested, jump on Instagram and give me a DM. I really do appreciate the listenership, and if you enjoyed listening to this episode or the podcast in general, jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thank you again, guys. Cheers.